It's Wednesday, April 6, 2016, and you're listening to episode 395 of Fear the Boot, a show about tabletop role-playing games and a little bit more. Running time for this episode is 55 minutes. Welcome to Fear the Boot. My name is Dan.
This is Brodor.
My name's Chad.
This is Wayne.
Two announcements right quick before we get down to business. First off, Chad and I have gotten back active in Warframe, which is a free-to-play game. You can download it off of Steam, or I think there's a Warframe.com or something to that effect. But you can get it off Steam. And we had a Fear the Boot clan called Fear the Ninjas, a very, very clever name.
Oh, yes. In our long range of Fear the products.
Yes, exactly. And until Fear the Walking Dead came along, our lawyers are still looking into that. Top men. Top men.
Unfortunately, John doesn't get paid as much as their lawyers. Yeah. So we're...
So, you do. AMC or whoever it is, you win this round.
With your crappy show.
Yes, and comic and whatever that nobody watches and nobody likes, right? Right?
The Fear the Walking Dead is supposed to be terrible.
Is it?
Yeah, okay. Like the TV show and the comic book Wayne and I used to be fans of. We just kind of
got tired of it.
I got tired of it. It's good. I got tired of it.
But Fear the Walking Dead was never a comic, and the show was horrible.
Well, thank God. We are still the top Fear the product on the internet. So anyway, we used to have a Fear the Ninja clan. Still do. There were some people that kept
it. Never went away.
No, it never went away.
There were always people in it.
Yes, and it is still around, and we just expanded the total size of people it can take on. And Chad and I have started playing it, and a couple friends of mine that I've picked up in the years since or two
like
years
how
since we last
Chad
played
and I are playing it, and then and a couple of friends of mine, like
and then several other people like that either are still in it or are getting back into it. Mm-hmm. So that's rolling again. So if you're interested in checking out a free to play space ninja game, I'll put a link in the show notes to both.
Oh, that actually answers the question I was about to ask: is what is this game anyway?
So really quick. Yeah. Sales.
We don't want to be too.
Yeah,
we don't want to be salesmen for somebody else's game.
No, exactly. But you're describing and asking people to come play with you a game that I know I have no idea what the gameplay is.
And this is an opportunity for the fans to socialize,
right?
Members of Fear the Boot,
because it's a co-op game when we play together.
Yes, it is a co-op game. There are competitive aspects, but they are very underdeveloped, and
we don't really even get into that much.
But the gist of it is that you play the role of somebody. It's kind of like a space ninja. It's kind of like a suit of powered armor that you pick various weapons that each have different properties, and the suits themselves have different properties, and
then
you
do different roles and such. There's like the basics, the healer, the stabby guy, the tank.
But they don't really do the Holy Trinity.
No,
they don't do the tank damage healing.
And you don't have to, if you get four people together, because that's how many are in a group at any one time, to do a mission, and everybody wants to play the tank guy, then everybody plays tank guy. That's
totally
not a problem.
Yeah,
it's completely legit.
It's not really the MMO Holy Trinity, but you pick a frame that fits kind of the flavor role you want to play, and then they give you various objectives to go out and fulfill, and there are weapons you can develop and powers you can develop. It's a lot of customization, some pretty cool stuff. So I'll put some links to that in the show notes. Once again, it's completely free, so if you want to check it out.
There's a whole parkour, like it's a third-person game, and there's this whole like wall-running parkour, flip-out movement ninja aspect to it. And then you can have a whole bunch of guns, too, and rocket launchers and grenade launchers and swords and sides and hammers and like any possible way you could dream of killing a person, you can do it because you're a ninja. And then Space Ninja, and there you go.
It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, it is fun.
So, check the show notes.
Very mission-based.
The second thing is, many of you are probably familiar with the One Shot podcast, who also does the campaign podcast, James Catt et alia out of Chicago. Well, we are going to be doing some crossover shows with them. We did one before. We're going to be doing some more. They're going to be coming on our show, and they're going to be giving us some theater lessons on how to do various voices. And I've asked them to give some practical lessons that you guys can try along with us here on the show. But they're also going to have us on their show, where they are going to run a game for a group of us from Fear the Boot. And right now, they're taking open voting or open ideas, which will lead to voting on what that game will be or what its attributes will be and what sort of game this is going to be. So if you want to get in on picking the game that we are going to play with the folks from One Shot, then I'll put a link to a forum thread where you can go and post your requests, which they're then going to collate and put into a poll where people can vote and decide what it is they want to see. And folks have suggested all sorts of games. The very first suggestion is one I wholly support, which is somebody said they really didn't care. They just wanted to see me play Gnarl. And that fits right
in full costume.
Yes. But that fits right in with the whole thing they want to do in our show about voices, because Gnarl has his own voice.
Yes, he does.
And so
does it hurt to do Gnarl's voice?
Actually, it kind of can after too long amount of time.
Can you give us a sample?
No.
If
people want to hear Gnarl, there's two places they can do it. One is they can either dig through our archive. There was an episode where I did Gnarl.
Yes.
And I also did Rot, and I did Rit, and I did a couple of my Gnolls.
Yes.
But the other option is, if you're too lazy to look backward, just vote. I don't care what it is, but Dan plays Gnarl. Wow. And there you go. So that's my way of stuffing the ballot box.
Damn.
Vote like it's the Ennies. But I'll put a link to that in the show notes. And we've got another project, a wholly unrelated thing we're working on with them, but I'll tell you more about that as it draws closer, because they've got some stuff going on, and we've got some stuff going on we got to get past first, but that is coming up.
You know what I'd like to do?
Two chicks at once?
No, oh. Not really. Okay. Why would I disappoint two women at the same time?
I'm with you, Vanilla Face.
I know. So, over the past week on Reddit, there has been two threads in the RPG subreddit.
Okay.
People asking, hey, know any good podcasts on role-playing games? And several of you listeners got on and said, hey, check out Fear the Boot. And I just want to say thank you.
Yes, thank you guys for that.
Very cool.
Yeah.
We appreciate anything that you do to spread the word about what we do and about any level of entertainment or advice that we provide. Or even if you just want to be pointlessly outraged, shake your fist in impotent rage at the screen over offensive things that Brodor says.
No, it's too early in the episode.
Brodor is like a steam engine of outrage. He's got to build up ahead. He's got.
Well, did you guys have me going in the car? Like, I was legitimately like, I was irritated at dinner, and then by the time we pulled up and I had parked a house down from Dan's, because there's cars everywhere on the street, right? Somebody's collecting the fucking things. But I was now I'm all worked up again.
I know.
We were
driving home.
I have a dream episode in my mind of getting Pat worked up to where Pat does one of his rare explosions, because when Pat gets on a roll, you can't stop him.
Yeah,
like, and the getting Brodor worked up on the same thing, and getting the two of them across from each other.
I have to say, I kind of sensed that you were getting spun up in the car, and I kept poking you because it was funny.
What was this over? Was this over the fun walk?
She f***ing touched me. Why did she have to touch me? Okay, so we go to this Mexican restaurant that is really good and has good margaritas, and it has this delicious almond tequila that we get shots of. Really, really good stuff. Anyway, last time Dan and I were there, they were soliciting this charity fun run, fun walk, but they were giving you the hard sell.
It was really
uncomfortable. So tonight we go back for dinner before the episode, and again, they're giving us the hard sell. But then the woman who works there, who is very matronly and sweet, generally very, very kind, she had to go and touch me, and she puts her hand on my back and kind of gives me the rub with her nails, and then goes from, you know, the left shoulder over to the right across my back, and I was like, why are you fucking touching me? It's bad enough that you're soliciting me.
She was trying to pick you up. I'm in the corner here, and she's between me and Brodor, and I'm just like, I'm getting uncomfortable with how close they're getting here. I can't get out. I'm trapped. If she goes for him and starts to rip his clothes off, I can't run.
And here's the part that really sucks. I know I'm old. I know I'm overweight. I know I'm not an attractive person. But if this chick thinks she can pick me up, I have serious problems. I'm way more fugly than I thought I was if she thought she had a chance. So, and it's not Saturday night.
Okay. No.
Brodor, I can give you a little bit of perspective. I don't know if this is going to be helpful, but I can give you a little bit of perspective. Cultural differences. When I went to Venezuela back in 2001, there was a warning that I got before we made the trip down
Because you're a handsome man. Watch your cornhole, Peter.
Shine the sheriff's badge.
There is a story about that kind of stuff, but I'll save that for a different episode. I think I actually already told it on Bedtime Stories episode. But there was a warning I was given before we went down because of the fact that I am a fairly high-strung person. I like my personal space, you know, that kind of stuff. And they warned me before we went down there. They said, look, this is a...
The culture is close talkers. They put their hand on their shoulder, well, they hug. And
you don't greet with a handshake. Yeah. I mean, it doesn't matter if it's male, female, whatever. If you have any sense of kinship or friendship whatsoever with the person, you hug them, you kiss them. It's very hands-on. Our culture... well, I don't know if that's America. From what I understand, most of the English-speaking world is like this, Australia, England, whatever. But we're very distant from each other. You know, we shake hands, if even that. We insult each other to show that we like each other. Maybe we pick up a bar tab, and that's
the way God intended. I got it.
But I was warned when you go down there.
Broder, I just realized something. Dan bought your dinner. You were hit on twice tonight.
Wow.
But the point is that when I went down there, they warned me that they said, you know, people are going to be really up in your business. You know, you're not going to have the same boundaries that you're used to in America. And that doesn't mean anything. That's just kind of how it goes. And the woman that was doing this to you, big shock, she is Mexican. And I don't know specifically which part of Mexico she comes from or whatever, but it's still, you know, broadly speaking, a similar culture. And so, well,
and I remember the first time we went, she was even asking us how her English was.
Yeah.
This was when they first opened.
Yeah. So her boundaries are going to be culturally very different than ours.
Right. So, but here's the thing. If the last two times I had been there, I had not been aggressively solicited to participate in their charity event that my fat ass is obviously not going to do, maybe her trying to stroke me would not have been so bothersome.
Yeah, it was a really hard sell.
You know, Broder, I'm doing a charity walk in a few weeks.
and Wayne will gladly stroke your back.
And I'm not coming, Wayne. And I'm not coming. And you know what? I'm going to tell you right here to your face. Because we have a rapport and a kinship, a friendship. This woman, I don't know her from Adam. So I'm not comfortable telling her to fuck off.
I'm not inviting you. I don't want you there.
But you do want to touch him, right?
No.
See, that's the difference between...
I am doing a Make-A-Wish Foundation walk in a couple weeks, and it's the superhero is their theme of it this year. But nobody is actually...
You should be Charles Xavier, just to make Sarah push you the whole way.
No, I'm actually going to take the dogs up with me for the walk and walk with them. But nobody's donated to me, so I'm not really raising them any money.
I don't think you've mentioned this, Wayne.
I put it on Facebook. That's all I've done.
What's Facebook?
I'll give you the link. Maybe someone here will donate some money and I'll feel better about it.
We have this podcast and everything, and this is the first I'm hearing.
I don't know. We've only raised, $10,000 of the course of our existence for charities.
I just thought of mentioning it right now when he's talking about the fun run.
Wayne.
I would totally wear a cape. They're going to provide capes, so I probably will wear a cape.
We wear a cape and fangs?
I do have a new pair of fangs.
What? Wait. This was supposed to be behind you.
Hold on. You said new pair.
Yes.
So there was a previous pair of fangs.
The previous pair of fangs we know about. Wayne, where and why did you get a new pair of fangs?
Is this going to get a Wayne's awkward confession?
Yes. Yes, it is.
I'm trying to remember where exactly I bought them, but it was one of those things where they were on sale. So I bought four boxes of them.
Wayne's awkward confession.
And they
are they BOGO fangs?
This is
actually it was buy one get one. And they are a lot
if it's a good deal, guys, you can't pass up a good deal.
They are a lot like the original ones I had, where you mold them to your own teeth, and they'll snap in and out.
I get you.
I'm thinking the line from Simpsons. That's a great price for 15 pounds of nutmeg.
Yeah, so I have about four boxes of fangs at home.
That's right.
Why?
You can't say he's not thrifty.
Because they were on sale.
They
it's
were
like,
on sale. They're
I
BOGO.
Know I will find a use for these.
How much vampire...
Can you honestly say I won't find a use for fangs over the next year?
What use?
Year?
I don't know what use, but I will find a use.
Four sets of disposable fangs, usable within a year, and we're 4 months in.
Oh, they're not disposable. These are the kind you mold. These are the nice kind.
Oh, okay.
You use them multiple times.
How much vampire LARPing do you do?
I have never played vampire, and I have never LARPed.
Okay. How much weird...
I've never been invited.
How much weird vampire kink are you into?
Oh.
Do you mean in person or online?
Go on.
Let's take both. In for a penny, in for a pound.
There might be a little bit something there.
Okay, Wayne, let's start with in person.
We need a new theme song. Wayne's Sanguine Confessions.
No. Well, there's pictures out there from the year I went to Gen Con, and I hung out in the White Wolf booth as much as I could. They had hired models there that all had fangs.
They weren't models.
No, they were from the strip club down the street.
There you go. They were strip.
Because we ran into them down the street.
Now, what about in person?
That was my in person. I'm pretty lame, actually.
You're not lame. You're the thrifty vampire. BOGO. You're BOGO the vampire.
Which, by the way, when we get to our topic later, vampire, another great option for a long jump.
Okay, but so
I did hang out with a lot of people that were the weird vampires where they actually did cut each other and drink each other's blood. And
am I the only one that thinks that's a little bit hot?
Yep.
Yes.
Yeah.
Somebody's out there listening. It's like, yeah, brother, you're a little weird, but it's kind of hot too. I got a little blood in it myself.
But yeah, I won't lie.
Whoever you are, brodor at fearthebootcom. Yeah, it is an email address.
You know what? I have to admit, I just gave that all due consideration. I decided, okay, I'm not going to blow this off. I'm going to think about it and consider it. Weigh the pros and cons and blood and sex and
so
no.
Yeah. I told them they were all insane. They were just my friends that I hung out
with. So, Chad, you want to hear a true story?
Okay. After this fiasco? No. Tell me a good, Dan, I want you to lie to me and I want you to tell me a good story with ninjas and dragons.
Ooh. Yeah, I got a good story, but it doesn't involve ninjas and dragons.
Disappointment.
All right. Hold on. The topic for today, we'll go ahead and set this up. I uninstalled it. I had Rory story keys on my phone, so I thought maybe I could tell you a story real quick. But the topic for today is we want to talk about time jumps in a role-playing game. Mm-hmm. Now, the big parameter we're going to set right up front here is we're not talking about time travel. So we are not talking about somebody who can instantaneously move forward or backward in time. We are talking specifically about time jumps.
Significant time jumps, too. Not like, okay, we save the princess 3 weeks later. No, this is like, Ian the bad guy's dead, now 5 years later.
5 years go by, 10 years go by, 100 years go by, whatever the case may be. We're talking about significant jumps in time. Mm-hmm. And this is things that we've seen in our own games in the past. For example, in the Gnarl game, bringing that one up again, there was a time jump where after we took over that town and gave Pat a city to rule again, there was a jump where it's like, okay, now Pat's been the lord of this town for X number of years, and we had to talk about what we'd been doing during that time.
And I will admit that was laziness on my part because I didn't want to get into role-playing rebuilding the town.
Well,
it's really boring.
Well, and I think there are, I mean, if we want to stop right here and talk about the purposes of the time jumps, that may be one of them is, quite frankly, there's content you don't want to deal with.
Yeah.
Because it's boring, it's uninteresting, and as much as we could trot out a nice little platitude like, well, make it interesting.
Well, yeah.
Whatever.
It's like you don't have to.
If your group doesn't like dealing with politics, I mean actual politics of he is a king, there are people under him, he is having to direct people, that kind of politics, then why make them play through it if you can just skip to the point where you're not dealing with
especially because rebuilding the town is ultimately about Pat. While that's going on, Gnarl's trying to found his tribe. Well, that's about me. Gnarl lost an enormous amount of respect for Sir William. That's just kind of...
That's a given.
That's the universe as a whole. That's just how reality works.
Right.
But Sir William was off doing something banal, and that was about Wayne.
Those were stories that were much more interesting to say, okay, we're doing this X amount of years jump. What have you been doing?
Yeah.
And then you guys can give a monologue, well, I did this and this and this, after thinking about it, or a write-up or something.
Yeah, I don't think
it's so much more interesting than role-playing.
I don't think it ever really came out what Sir William was doing, But he was trying to join
the... at one?
No, he was trying to... Well, that just comes with the...
You know, that that character, William. Yes, yeah. I could see.
No,
that.
He was trying to join the group that was trying to take out the... Was it the elders?
Yeah.
What we call
yeah.
Them? Yeah, he was actually trying to get in with the group that we ended up fighting.
Mm-hmm. So, when you guys were kids, did you ever have somebody give you a stupid chore to do, whether at school or at home? And when you complained, they said, try and make a game out of it.
Yes.
And isn't...
And then I also had, try to sing a song about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Time jumps are the same way.
Mm-hmm.
There may be this platitude of, you know, make it interesting. It really doesn't yeah. work. And it's kind of, all right. But Chad, you mm-hmm. were thinking about now doing this in your current game. Yeah. How much of a time jump are you looking at, and why do a time jump at all?
In our current game, Blades in the Dark, Criminals, I will not get into the backstory of it because we did that for two episodes.
Yeah, people already know.
Right. I'm kind of doing chapters.
Okay.
And there are three chapters, and they each have a different theme. The first theme was Rise. It was the rise of the Strays. And the second one is about the supernatural aspects of the world.
Okay.
If I had to title it, I'd call it Ghosts. And then the third one, I can't really talk about.
It's about Brits.
Yeah. So I can't really talk about because Wayne is sitting here. And a lot of what they do in Chapter 2 is going to influence Chapter 3.
Okay.
But Chapter 3 is going to be a culmination of the Strays' activity. It's going to be their goals. I don't want to say long-range goals because we're going to do a time jump here. So there's
yes.
going to, but from the character's perspective in their current state, it will be the culmination of those goals.
Okay, so it's the consequences of their choices up to this point.
Yes, and it will be their actions and where they're okay. headed. And then, boom, that's going to be a cut. We win! Yay! And... You
so
know,
it's going to be the reverse of Mass Effect. You wait 3 years for the next chapter, but your choices actually matter.
Right. So at that point, the next book of the game
yeah.
is on a different level.
Okay.
Right? It deals with a different level of faction and stuff and plot and politics and stuff that the Strays are... The Strays is the name of the gang. The Strays are dealing with now. And it's actually being alluded to in the current game. It was alluded to a lot in the first chapter. It's alluded to in a lot in the second. And it's going to be alluded to a lot in the third.
So you're changing tone, power level,
yes.
and influence.
Yes.
And you're going to do that with the time jump.
Yes.
So at the end of said time jump, mm-hmm. you're going to have a different tone, a different power level,
yes.
and a different series of spheres of influence
yep.
or well, levels
and
of influence.
It would and make to do
sense
this,
in the way that this particular game works, too, because... Everything that the group's doing is to grow the gang.
Yes.
Is to expand. There's a lot of long-term mm-hmm. projects going on. So out of every game that I've ever been in, this is probably the mm-hmm. one where a time jump makes the most
right,
sense.
Right, a lot of
me.
Clocks are going to get completed
yep.
in the time jump.
Yep.
Got it.
And to do book two of the game, I need the Strays to be established. Right now, as fun as it is, as cool as it is, and wild as it is, really... From an outsider perspective, the Strays are a bunch of amateurs who are lucky to be alive right now. And for chapter two or book two,
which
I need
is
them
because we're a bunch of amateurs that are lucky to be alive right
yes.
now.
I need them to not be amateurs. I need them to be established professionals. Now, that doesn't mean boring and not risk takers. And in fact, I would love it if in the 5-year time jump, they become corrupt and degenerate and... You know, they grow in different ways. But as far as the gang is concerned, I need Chapter 2 to have an established gang going into it. So that's why I'm doing the time
okay.
jump.
So when we talk about a time jump,
mm-hmm.
it strikes me that if we've established a reason why the time jump's there at all, what purpose it serves, the next question that I would want to know is exactly what do we need to cover in the course
yeah.
of that jump? You know, what
you need to cover as players or what the game and everybody needs
you know,
to cover.
I think all of the above because, all right, well, you know what, let's go back to the Gnarl
right.
and Sir William and all that stuff game, because as much as we beat that one to death, I think it'd be easier to talk about mm-hmm. because
it happened.
Well, it happened. Yeah. And also you don't have to hedge what you're saying.
Yeah.
Because of spoilers.
I do apologize to the audience because I really do feel like I'm hedging around
right,
a lot
right,
of
right.
stuff.
But,
when I'm
so let's
about
just,
this.
We'll just change the example game to another one that had a time jump.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So when you told us in that game, okay, mm-hmm. there's going to be, I don't remember what it was, 18 months or 3 years
yeah.
or 5 years.
It was only a year or two.
Yeah.
It wasn't
huge.
But okay.
But it was a couple of years, I think.
But there were several things that we had to figure out during the course of that time. Mm-hmm. But the first thing that I looked at as a player was why the time jump was occurring. And when you explained, it's because we want to reach a point, and it sounds in this regard fairly similar to your Blades in the Dark game. We want you guys to reach a point where you're established. Okay, well, I now, as a player, understand what the GM is trying to accomplish with this time jump, and therefore, to assist you as a game master, what kinds of tasks we need to be fleshing out. So that's not to say I can't cover other tasks. I'll come back to that in a second. But what were the major bits of infrastructure building we were doing in the meantime?
Yeah.
Pat was building up his city. He was trying...
Not only his city, his...
Hold on the city.
His hold on the city, yeah. Because they're city... I was about to say kingdoms. They're not kingdoms. They're city-states. So his army, his economy, his alliances with neighboring city-states...
His spies and assassins... Yep. And rooting out the spies and assassins that were working against him.
Yep.
And
what the group didn't know what I was doing was building up the group that was trying to take out the elders and actually helping them for that whole time, because I was very anti-elders in that game.
And Pat was an elder, and he had to build up defenses against what you were doing.
And so we knew what the broad goals were that we had to address. We knew that for the game master's sake, for the sake of the game, these are the things... You know, it's our characters. We can answer the questions however we want. But these are the things that we have to address for the sake of keeping the game moving forward.
And one thing that was interesting about how Chad approached at that time was he went around and asked us each what we were doing. We gave him, here is our plan. But at that point, he's like, okay, let's roll some dice to see how that actually worked out.
Yeah, because there's a difference between what you want and what you actually achieve.
Yeah. Right. So we didn't just narrate, here's what I did over that time. We described, here's what I tried to do. And then...
Man, that was a good idea.
Rolled some random dice to try to figure out how successful were we in our goals.
Be careful, though, son, because it doesn't always work out the way you hope. Because when you want failure, you have Wayne roll.
Yes.
But you told me, with me, you're like, you know, I'd love to see Gnarl have some struggles building his tribe. Right. You made me roll three times. 20, 19, 20.
Nailed him.
And so all of a sudden, Gnarl's just straight pimping.
It was like, at that point, I think, if I remember, I was like, okay, Dan, a la carte.
Yep.
What do you want?
what a remarkably fun game opportunity, as opposed to being in your traditional role play scenario, where the game master is progressing time, and each player at the table has their influence over the direction of things. But then you also have that collaborative story building opportunity where we've played for a while, we've established our characters, we've established our relationships, and now we all have the opportunity to take a step back, kind of look at the metagame of it, and then influence the direction of things long term.
Well, and if the game master has any sense, this is a great point to observe what it is the players are interested in.
Yeah.
Because when this is your opportunity to say, I don't have to worry about what the party wants to do. Because we're just narrating, we're hand-waving, we're footnoting this portion of history. Mm-hmm. I don't have to fit in with the rest of the party. I can chase personal goals. And all of a sudden, a party member can say, well, you know what, that one jerk we ran into 3 months ago, I'm going to devote the next 2 years to hunting down and killing him.
Mm-hmm.
Or I'm going to spend the next 2 years, we don't have to be violent, building an orphanage for those kids that we found over here. You suddenly start to get a sense of...
Or that jerk who killed the orphanage and did all that stuff, I'm going to go out and I'm going to find him and kill him. That's what I'm doing over this time jump, this multi-year time jump. And the cool thing that you could do as a game master is work with the player on the side where the other players don't know what's going on. So, Dan, you're out hunting him, and I pitch an idea to you. Okay, you find him, confrontation, maybe there's some fights, maybe it's a running chase over the course of years, and eventually your character grows to understand him. And then you don't forgive him for what he did, but you feel that you could turn him to good.
Yeah.
That he's a misguide. And then, so the game opens up with, you know, it's like we've been kind of teasing this to the other players. Like, I'm hunting this dude down. He's going to die. When I come back, I'm going to have his head. And then Dan comes back riding on a horse with this guy riding next to him. And they are allies. I mean, that's like a jaw-dropping moment for the party, right?
And I think that leads into the second thing that I would say about this is, first of all, not only can you get a sense of what is important to the players. But secondly, the players have the opportunity to insert something that maybe at the start of the game wasn't important to them. Mm-hmm. They didn't understand the character. They didn't see where the game was headed. But now that they have, it gives them a chance to insert something without needing it to be introduced and developed. Okay, let me give you an example from that same game. In the course of that year or 2 years or whatever it was.
I'm really glad you remember all this, because I don't remember any of it until you say it. And I'm kind of concerned that maybe you're making it all up
and I'm not
just believing it.
I'm terrible remembering
it. You're rewriting my memory.
I'm terrible with proper nouns, but I'm pretty good with general ideas. Yeah. But it was during that time that I came up with a concept that Gnarl had picked a mate and had pups. Mm-hmm. Now, that was not something that if you had asked me about at the start of the game, I would have had any interest in. This character hadn't developed in that direction.
Yeah. In fact, your character didn't have any other Gnoll connections at all. In fact, you had written it in, they'd all died.
Yeah, the first two or three that he picked up as henchmen came in the course of the game. Mm-hmm. And at that point, he started to see the plausibility of regathering some of these scattered Gnolls into a tribe. He's thinking now about the future, about generationality and all these things.
Wait a minute. Are you still trying to get votes for Gnarl? Is this what you're doing?
I'm just going with a game.
Yeah.
But the point is, though, that suddenly this priority that wasn't there before was there. And I didn't have to go through this long, drawn-out process of, Chad, can we devote the next three sittings to everybody else watching Gnarl flirt with a She-Gnoll?
Yeah.
And... Ugh. Yeah, it's would have been creepy and pointless and boring to everybody else.
So one thing I'm thinking about with this, based on looking at the group we have, there's definitely different group dynamics. Mm-hmm. You have two people within the group
within the Blades game.
You have two people within the group that have taken the time to write out and give you cast list of NPCs with cross relationships between them. And those two people, you know, are probably going to look at this jump and they're going to have a lot of ideas of what they want to do.
Sure.
Then you have someone like Pat who struggles to come up with what is his project to even run.
Oh, I know.
He's going to struggle for what he wants to happen over the 5 years.
I know exactly what he is probably going to do and what I have planning on him to do. He's the king of Crowsfoot. I mean, he sits atop his empire. We roll into the game. That's fine. But that's kind of what he did with the Gnarl game, too.
Yeah. When you do something like this, you're going to have different people at the table that have different, I don't want to say amounts of creativity, because that's not what I'm getting at here. Different people think differently about their characters.
Well, there are some people that live in the moment, and there are some people that...
That is exactly what I was trying to get to.
Yeah.
And that's both players and characters. There are some characters, even if the player has a plan, there are some characters that just live more in the moment or have more of a plan than others.
Yeah. No, I don't have a problem with that.
So that was something I was wondering if you would plan for, of if you have somebody that just doesn't think that far ahead,
so in the Gnarl,
they might feel like after the jump, they'll be kicking themselves because I should have thought of something better and I feel left out because here's this cool thing that happened to this person and this cool thing that happened to this person. And
Pat had that problem in that game where he played the Elder and he was building the city and we did the time jump because that was a bit of improvisation. I don't think I gave you guys much warning. I laid it on you guys and we took about almost all of a session of talking and coming up with what you guys had done and making roles and interpreting the roles and stuff. And Pat, that's not his wheelhouse. He's just not very good at it. He doesn't like it. If I remember right, I think I came up with most of Pat's stuff. I didn't just, dictate, but I'm like, well, Pat, I could see your character doing this. What do you think of that? And he's like, I like it, but maybe not like that. Maybe with this other person. Okay, yeah, great. Boom. There, we have that concept. Well, Pat, what about the army? I see your character not really making much of an army. He's not really a military guy. It's like, oh, no. Because I could see him being really afraid about invaders and stuff. So he's got this big-ass army. And you kind of hold their hand and you lead them. I don't really need to hold Dan's hand. I need to restrain Dan and hold him back because he'll make this entire Gnoll culture and universe that's become its own thing, get its own damn Twitter account.
You're going to go from one page of NPCs to like 20 pages. Yeah,
With Wayne, it's just like I'll get handout after handout. And I'm like, where are you even getting a printer? How do you have time to type this up? We're talking about this now. And it's just like, he just keeps handing
me. In fairness, Dawn came up with her printout like over a week. Yeah. I had like a month that I did mine. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't that big of a thing. I don't know where she finds the time to do.
She's a housewife.
That would do.
You know, something though that I think you can also do with this time as players, or it might be important to do with this time as players. Mm-hmm. Is this gives you a chance to reevaluate a lot of the fundamental presumptions about your character because of the fact that, I mean, a time jump, a lot of things can change in the course of several years.
Alcoholics can sober up. People can become alcoholics.
Am I the only one that here that the first thing that I think when someone suggests a time jump, my very first thought is, do I want my character to be alive or do I want a new character and have it die Wayne, in 5 years?
No, that was one of the things that I wrote down here. And this isn't exactly the same as what you just said, but I think it is very closely tied to it, which is relationships can change. You know, there are friendships I have gained, lost, or in some cases gained, lost, and gained again in the course of 5 years. You may have to go back and at some level revisit the entire group template and say, now that 5 years have gone by, are we still a cohesive unit? Have we grown?
Has everyone gone their separate ways and now we need to do a reintroduction game?
Or is maybe one character just not coming back because he or she's dead or has started some empire and that's all they care about now or has retired or whatever? And
as a piece of Game Master advice, too, if a player goes that route of saying, you know, I think I'm going to make a new character, my character, not a violent death, just walks off into the sunset. You know, they just walk down the road and walk away. As a game master, there's a very deep temptation to say, ooh, new bad guy. And it's like,
respect that.
Yeah. You got to respect the person's character and their choices and things they did.
And then going back to the Gnarl game, Sir William wasn't in the city while all that was going off. He was off doing his thing. So that was Chad's catalyst for, this has been going on all this time. Now that this time jump is done, there has to be something to make this new day different than yesterday. Otherwise, why are we starting right now?
Yeah.
So in this case, it was Sir William, my character, has now returned to the city. Mm-hmm. That is what is different than the last year, 2 years.
Right. That's the catalyst.
That's the catalyst.
The start point.
Well, so that's the kind of thing that I think you would need to think about, too, if you're doing this, is what makes today different than yesterday?
Yeah.
Why is today the day that we're starting?
Why 5 years, 3 months, and 2 days? There has to be a reason why time made the jump, and there has to be a reason where it landed.
Yeah.
And then that reason needs to kick off the new adventure. That's what you're doing. Yeah. It's a new adventure. Unless you're saying, we have this adventure from A to B, but in the middle of A to B is a long space journey where everybody goes into cryosleep for 80 years. That's not the kind of time jump we're talking about here. We're talking about a significant plot-altering character. That's really what it is. It's altering the characters. It's altering the story. It's altering the plot. It's altering the world in some way to make the same game different.
There is one point here that I think I want to give as a very strong piece of advice, which I just alluded to a second ago, which is you might want to revisit the group template, especially when people are radically changing a character's goals or situation, or are changing out the character completely. I'm not playing this person anymore, I'm playing that person. There are games with time jumps, and the Gnarl Sir William Ceremony wasn't one of them, but there are games I've played in that had time jumps like that, where the time jump, quite frankly, destroyed the group.
Sure.
The group as, and you know, sometimes that happens in real life. Sometimes you meet up with somebody that you haven't seen in 10 years, and it's like the friendship picked up as if it never left off. But there are other times you just can't go back. Mm-hmm. And I've seen this with characters in games as much as in real life, or sometimes you bring everybody back together and it just doesn't work. And if you haven't taken that time to say, look, what is it that would actually draw us back together? What is it that now 5, 10, 15, 20 years down the road would make us say we even still care about the same mm-hmm. things anymore? Now that we've had kids and done this and done that and killed the dragon and whatever else, solved all these problems that originally gave our group that cohesion, is that still there? And if it's not, then what do we need to adjust? And especially if someone's bringing in a new character, does this new character at all fit into the existing group dynamic?
I was about to hit on that because that's something that doesn't even need a time jump to potentially be a problem. I mean, we saw in the last session that we had that kind of happened. Dawn created her secondary character, mm-hmm. brought it in, but we hadn't talked about how we were bringing it in.
Yeah.
So it just shows up and everyone's...
It.
It's a character.
Yeah.
It's not right, the real you're suspicious person. And the presentation's flat. Yeah. Right.
Mm-hmm. If we talked about it ahead of time and planned for it, that wouldn't have happened. But we got caught in that you know, rut that you always hear about.
I actually kind of like it.
Oh, yeah, you seem trustworthy. Please join our party.
Ours was the opposite.
No, his opposite. Yeah. From my perspective, it was great because nobody trusted him.
Right.
They're like,
who gave you this address? Why are you here?
What do you mean Dawn's character sent you to the secret hideout to talk about the plans for doing the evil bad thing? Oh, yeah, man. She gave me, secret hideout. Yeah, she gave me a map. Yeah. And then she gave me a map.
You're a bartender. My character actually sent a messenger to go get another bartender to take over his job because the bartender showed up to do crime with us.
But getting back to the time jump thing, though, too. The players really have to kind of work together to make it work. So as a game master, I think you have to kind of get some buy-in from them to kind of say, hey, I'm doing this time. By the way, Wayne, I'm doing a time jump in our game in a few months. But to do this time jump, because let's say we're doing a traditional D&D game and our group was brought together because we were all in the same village together and a dragon attacked and we came together and we defeated the dragon. And then somebody asked, where did the dragon come from? Oh, there's a clue that evil this and oh, that's over there. And hey, we're going to save the kingdom. And we have this great adventure. And then we're brought together through this adventure. And then we do a time jump. And it's 10 years later. And we all meet in a market. It's like, hey, that dragon thing. That was crazy.
Right.
See you later.
And it's awkward and uncomfortable. Awkward. And you've grown apart says, and you no longer have anything in common.
It's like a high school reunion.
Yeah. Or everybody's together. It's like, okay, hey, the band's back together. Let's kick some ass. And then Wayne, who writes very detailed backgrounds, is like going through his background. He's like, oh, yeah, adventuring. And we killed the dragon. That's great. But you know what? I took all the money that we got from killing the dragon and saving the kingdom. And I bought a tavern. And I got this wife, she's on page 4, and I've got 18 pages of kids, and I really don't have time to do this adventure thing anymore.
Except I wouldn't actually do that, because that'd be game-breaking.
Right. Yeah, so the players have to understand that. It's just like, okay, you made this great, awesome character. It was this inn and 18 kids, and has all this backstory, and he did it because he got the money from his adventuring days. And as a game master, I'm sitting here thinking, it's like, Wayne, you either have to change your character up, or I'm going to have to set your inn on fire and kill all your children. It's your call, buddy.
Wait, that's the thing is, I would think about that as I was figuring out what was going on. But when you're thinking about what you want for your character, sometimes it is hard to think about that.
Mm-hmm.
What would your character realistically do?
Yes.
Let's say you're playing a modern day game and your character is a banker and then he just got $1 million. You know what? He's going to invest.
Yeah.
He may not need to go on whatever adventure at that point. Maybe it is time for a new character.
Yeah.
And that's something that's going to be kind of interesting is I want to see what everyone else wants to do as well.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of already cementing what I kind of want to do.
Well,
and I'm not planning on, we have more things that are going to happen. I have no plans. I'm not planning on.
And I'm going to break either. You guys in many various ways. And I'm going to hurt you and destroy you. And it's, well, they're criminals. Don't give me that look. Don't feel sorry for them. They're the bad guys.
But yeah, I'm thinking about that. It's, when the time comes, I want to hear what everyone else is thinking.
Rodor has given me the, really? You're going to be that GM look?
There must be adversity, right? There have to be challenges.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it's not interesting.
Right.
I get it.
Yeah. My initial thought is I don't plan on switching my characters. But as everyone goes around and we see what happens with the group, maybe the group is in a place at the end that this character doesn't fit anymore.
Your character already doesn't fit with the group. True. It's wonderful. It's really great. It causes a lot of like you said, there's conflict, right? That conflict makes the story interesting.
Right, but do they have friendship? I mean, is the friendship strong enough, or his value to the her value to the group strong enough that they can overcome that conflict?
Her value to the group is immense, and in this current chapter, it's going to be super immense, and her value is also a major detriment to the group.
Yep.
It's very interesting.
See, that's intriguing.
The paranormal things in this world are very illegal.
Mm-hmm.
That is what I do.
That's her whole shtick. And in beyond illegal, it's like, it's ooh, gross, oh my God, you freak sort of stuff. But they don't keep around, oh, because we need her. They don't have much other choice. It comes to the motivations of the character.
Yeah, my character has a very strong relationship with two of the other characters.
Mm-hmm.
Very weak relationship with the other two characters. I know that one character at one point, player said, if my character ever finds out what she just tried to do,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to try to kill that character.
Right.
And it was totally legit.
Yeah.
Completely legit response. But anyway, speaking of characters, though, something that we had talked about when we were kind of coming up with the bullet points. Sorry, I'm taking over moderation.
No, go ahead.
One of the things that we came up with when we were coming up with the bullet points for this thing is, what are the types of characters that would be really good at this, and what are the types of characters that would be really bad at this? One of the examples was, okay, we're going to do a 20-year time jump, and it's like D&D land, whatever. And Wayne is playing a human, and Brodor is playing an elf. And elves live for 1,000 years. And we're doing a 20-year time jump. So,
you know what?
That's a major big deal for Wayne's human character. That's a whatever for Brodor.
My watercolors are going to be badass. Yeah. That's all I know. Is if we're doing a huge time jump, I'm focusing on art.
Yep.
I'm reading. I'm clearly playing a wizard.
Right.
So it's all about studying and painting and writing poetry. And
as much as I hate to reference Voyager for anything... Voyager had a character whose species lasted for 10 years.
Yeah.
What if you have something like that in your party?
Right.
You're doing a 20-year time jump. This person is 3 years old. That character's not going to be there in 20 years.
Right. Mm-hmm. Which is interesting.
I think if we do the entire party as elves, that isn't going to quite be interesting unless there's like major world changes and plot changes, right. Whatever.
It only really needs to be discussed if there's a difference.
In the human elf party, is that interesting? Is it interesting that the time jump doesn't mean anything for you realistically, but is huge for him? And can you come up with good role-playing opportunities on the other side of that? Like, damn, you're old.
Right. 20 years to him is significant, where 20 years to my character is not.
I don't know that it would
not
make a massive ongoing plot point or character point, because I think, quite frankly, it would become a tired theme.
Right.
But... does it bear consideration? Does it bear mentioning? Yes, I think absolutely. I mean, the fact that in 20 years, as far as, I mean, 1,000-year-old race is concerned, I mean, if we assume, let's just for round numbers, say a human lives to be 100, which is obviously a bit optimistic, then you're talking about a span of 2 years. How much do we really consider a person to have changed in the course of 2 years? Especially once you're, if we're not talking like ages 2 to 4. I mean, obviously, there's a pretty big change there.
I was about to hit that too, Dan. Let's say they're all humans, but one human starts the game at age 15, and one human starts the game at age 25.
Yeah, 25 to 30 is not as big of a change as 15 to 20.
Mm-hmm.
And that's with just humans with the same lifespan.
Yeah.
So that's something else to think about, is where are they at in their lifespan?
Well, and what are the major events? I mean, if we had a 5-year jump and then God forbid something happens to my wife, I'm a way different person in 2 years after the death of my spouse than I am, in 5 years with everything being status quo.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and I think that is something that could balance out even a long-lived race, is depending on what you put in there. What could happen to an elf in 20 years? I mean, you may not age a whole lot, and maybe you don't have a lot of life changes or physiological changes.
But there could be a catastrophic change.
Yeah, a lot of crap could happen. Yeah. And I mean, 20 years is still 20 years. A lot of events could happen.
It's hard to imagine what people are like who would live like 1,000 years or something like that. I mean, there's a lot of speculative fiction, a lot of vampire stories and things of that nature. Hell, even Adventure Time, the cartoon, deals with that because they have a character in there, a couple that is 1,000 years old, but she looks like a teenager. And the character is Marceline, and she's this vampire, demon vampire girl, and she just has kind of, she's not evil. She's just, over the course of 1,000 years in a post-apocalyptic world, her moral compass has just really kind of drifted off the mark.
Well, another aspect of that, too, is, like we were just saying, who you're hanging out with. If you look at a story about long-lived elves that are hanging out with other elves, it's no big deal.
Right.
But let's say you're the only elf in a city of humans. You suddenly get the Highlander effect. You're watching everyone you've ever loved grow old and die around you.
That's the apathy effect. At some point, I just don't care anymore.
Yeah. Right.
Right. I'm tired, I'm bored, I'm disinterested.
That happens with the Marceline character. She has a lot of apathy and a lot of self-centeredness that is not natural to her character. She's just lived for 1,000 years. And the other characters subtly through the show kind of remind her of what is important, and the moral compass kind of drifts back to True North, and then it kind of drifts off again. Very interesting character. Kid show, but has a lot of adult subtext to it that's very cool. I've had this dream game that I've always wanted to run, and I don't really have the specifics of it. I kind of think of it like maybe a Dresden Vampire, the Masquerade type game where there's supernatural, but it's all hidden and stuff. And what we do is we start in the 1860s. And so it starts as a Wild West game. And then adventures happen. And then it jumps to like World War I. And then it jumps to the 1950s. And then it jumps to the 1980s. And then it jumps to the present day. And only one person is allowed to keep their character through all the jumps. And it's like a vampire or something. They start at the beginning and they will end at the end. But all the other people play different characters. You play your ancestors, you play someone related, you play the friend of a friend, you play the bad guy who survived, who's now turned good, or whatever you want to do. But one character, one person, who's probably Pat, because that's his shtick, plays the same guy. And I just would love to run that game for like a couple of years and see how that one person's character changes, but not make the plot revolve around them. They're just a character.
Right.
Same spotlight and equal time in the plot as all the other characters through all the plot jumps.
I would love to play that character because I've talked before.
You can't. Pat's going to play him.
Pat would totally play it. Yeah, we all know Pat would grab that.
Which is the reason why I think you should not have Pat play it. When someone's that predictable,
for 2 years.
So I would love to play that character because, as we've said before, I don't like seeing the characters grow. My character, I don't like seeing them grow old, die, and play the next generation.
Mm-hmm.
That's not a thing for me. That's something I struggle with.
Why don't you like that?
Well, we talked before, I have a lot of anxiety issues, a lot of depression issues. The idea of seeing this character that is the star go past his prime and into his end, that is something that doesn't appeal to me.
That's not your escapism. That's not your fantasy.
That's something I constantly have going in my head. That's so right. I don't want to deal with that. But that would be cool for me to be the character that is.
Mm-hmm.
So you could do your generational game of those characters are all dead. Now here's these characters and these characters. Without me having to do that with my character, which is why I would actually enjoy that. I would be a morose character by the end.
Well, and
I would have fun playing that character because that character doesn't go past his prime. Everyone around him does.
That's kind of what I want to see. It's like, does the character become morose through playing of the game? Or does the joy of all these different characters, do they look back on their life and then they see this beautiful fabric of friends and relationships and lovers that they've had trailing behind them and just think, wow, what a great life I've led? Or do they look back and see this tapestry of dark wreckage and death and everyone I touch dies?
And how I would think I would play it would be...
Because that's how Pat's playing his character.
How I would play it would be pretty much none of the above.
Mm-hmm.
Life is a roller coaster. A really long life is going to be a really big roller coaster.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe during one arc, you're stuck in the mindset of everyone I've ever loved has died. And then you're the down character. And then in the next time period, you've realized you can't live like that forever. You're just going to have some fun.
Mm-hmm.
And then you open up again and the characters get through. And then in the next period, it could change from period to period. And it wouldn't necessarily be, like we've just described, that linear progression.
Mm-hmm.
Some things about the character would be a linear progression, but it's his actual mood
could
fluctuate a lot.
That's absolutely why I want to run this sort of dream game, because I don't know how the character would be. Hmm. I don't know how his journey would be or her journey would be throughout the course of the thing.
Well, there's your homework. Run it. And have somebody other than Pat play the immortal character.
He'll stab you. It's got to be him.
All right. Well, I think that's where we're going to wrap this one up. Check the show notes for links to the Warframe Guild and also for voting and getting in, well, getting in your ideas. We're not to voting yet, but getting in your ideas on what you would like to see us play with the folks from the One Shot podcast. I'll put a link to their show in the notes as well. If you're not familiar with them, then do check them out. And apart from that, you guys have a good week and great game. And we will catch you next time.
See ya.
This has been a production of Fear the Boot, copyright 2016. Listeners are free to use this show in any non-commercial endeavor as long as credit is provided to feartheboot.com. You can find previous episodes and other resources at feartheboot.com. Fear the Boot is also a member of the Pulp Gamer Media Network of shows. You can find other great shows in this network at pulpgamer.com.